Sometimes, you know, because you come in careless and unconcerned, and sounds like that I'm just a little bit strong, but brethren, I tell you what, when it gets down to what God really is and what He can do and what He demands, I'm not hard at all. I'm just a junior. You remember the words of Jesus when He stood there in the midst of them people and He never pulled any punches, as the world said. He just looked at him and said, "You hypocrite, you tell me such and such." Now, boy, that's really preaching, you know it. I mean, He just stood right there and looked the man right in the eyeballs and told him, said, "You're a hypocrite." Somebody said, "Oh, wait a minute, God's love. He wouldn't do a thing like that," but He did do it. He just looked him right in the eye and called him a hypocrite. If Jesus come in here tonight, and if you was a hypocrite and you walked up out here before Him, He'd look you right in the eyeballs and He'd say, "You hypocrite." How do you believe He'd do it? He'd have to do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He didn't do it, He wouldn't be the same. If He'd done it to that man back there and wouldn't do it to you or me, He wouldn't be the same. If He walked in here tonight, He'd tell you to a T just like you was. See, so then God expects us to rally folks. He got upset and turned them tables over, the money changers tables over, and popped that whip and drove them out of that temple. Said, "You've defiled my Father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer." He meant business about that thing. So what we need to do is really get up and go. Brother Philip was telling me today about some things that had confirmed some of the predictions we had made. I made a prediction here a long time ago. I said the last move will be a musical one and be a religious one. And religion will come into the government and the government will become highly religious. And everything will turn to a religion. And sure enough, Jimmy Carter come in, you know, and he started this religious move. And Brother Philip was telling me today that this thing has gotten such a great turnover, said until the White House has been filled with religion. The paper stated that it had been just filled with religion and said there was an average of at least two radio stations per week, averaging two per week, I believe he said, if I didn't misunderstand him, that's gone religious, two a week. And they're going religious. Radio stations as fast as they can. Jim's going religious. And beginning to have religious music and begin to talk about Jesus just because of Carter. That's something, isn't it? I told you that would happen and it's happening. And that drought we spoke of, you remember how bad it was here a while back? It was so terrible. It really was terrible. And I said, that thing will start again. And now it's done started again. This summer I said it'd go to the extreme again. And here it is. Already they're having such a terrible drought in California after the snow and after all that they've had out there till they can't hardly make it. And there was, I forget, well, maybe there was 16 different states that they called the leaders out of, governors or whatever. 16 of them, I believe, got together to try to come up with some solution for the drought. Terrible. And they said that they're expecting earthquakes to hit and the central part of the United States. They're expecting a terrible earthquake to hit around Mississippi, cross there and come across there and just tear things all to pieces back in there. But see, things are taking place. Terrible things. Droughts and famines and pestilence. Even though God has answered our prayers. How have you noticed God's answered our prayer? Pray that God would give us an early spring. Did He give us an early spring? Right in the middle of a severe thing when nations were suffering everywhere. And we stood up right here at Bethlehem and said, regardless to what the weatherman says or what the groundhog says, it will be such and such. And even the weatherman made the statement, said, "I think the groundhogs missed it altogether this year." And sure enough, everything began to change. And here, I believe, I got a report yesterday, it might be wrong, but I got a report. They said that the cold weather was over as far as they could tell. So it looks like that we're getting an early spring, kids out flying a kite, you know, and having a good time. But see, folks, if we believe and if we pray, if we be concerned about people. When I was praying, I was concerned about people. I was concerned about them people over in New York, out in California, and up in Wisconsin, here in Georgia. People that didn't have anything to eat and people that couldn't get on the job and little ones freezing to death. I was concerned about that. And I called on God and I asked God to help me. I asked God to do something, and He did. He did. You know what? I'm still calling on Him. I haven't forgot Him just because He got us out of the crisis. You know, a lot of people, they call on God when they're in a crisis. Isn't that right? But then as quick as God gets them out of the crisis, then they forget about God. All they want to do is just want somebody to give them a helping hand. But they don't want to do nothing for God. They don't want to do nothing for you. Is that right? Somebody say amen. They don't want to do nothing for you. But they just want to get out of the crisis. That's all they want to do. And they forget God quick as they get out of the crisis. They're like the man, you know, that was down there with Joseph. Joseph told him that God was going to deliver him, and a man got out of the dungeon. Joseph said, hey, he said, be merciful to me. He said, when you get over there in the presence of Pharaoh, he said, how about remembering I'm still down here? But did that feller do it? No. He got up there, and when he got his little bit, and he forgot about everybody else, and he forgot about old Joseph. But there come a rough time. God didn't forget about Joseph, did he? God sent a famine through the land and began to dry up everything and began to cause a great famine and everything else, and they couldn't get along without Joseph. Then the old brother, when he saw that things was about to happen and the king was all tore up and saw this awful famine, when he got wind of that, he said, uh-oh, he said, I remember my faults. You know, folks remember their faults then, isn't that right? They get in a tight place and then they remember their faults. The king said, well, what are you talking about? He said, there's a fellow by the name of Joseph. I forgot him. He helped me. He was kind to me, he said, but I forgot him. But see, it wasn't long before Joseph, he had to feed out of Joseph's spoon. Isn't that right? God raised Joseph up and put Joseph over there. And every time that man wanted something for his little family, he had to go over there and feed out of Joseph's spoon again. So see, don't forget, folks. Don't forget. The Bible teaches to give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. See, don't forget that if God's blessed you and God's took care of you, don't forget them days when your little ones was about to die and you called on God and God came down there and, well, I just can't forget it. I can't forget it. Sometimes I get down to pray and tears roll down my cheeks and I look up to heaven and I say, Jesus, I haven't forgotten when my little Susie was about to die so many times and you intervened and you healed her and she's with me today. Jesus, I haven't forgot the time when me and Betty were stranded in the snow in Idaho and the different places. You come rescued us. And I haven't forgotten when we was having all kind of troubles and complex and our mothers and daddies were sick and in the hospital and brothers and sisters and we prayed and you answered God. I haven't forgotten that. I haven't, folks. I'll never forget it. I haven't forgotten that. I take a lot of time. I just take hours just to say, I thank you, Jesus. Like the songs that I thank you for the sunshine, I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the flowers, I thank you, Lord, for everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's just the way I feel about it, you know. Hallelujah. David said, my cup runs over. So then I'm grateful, I'm very grateful. Brother Taylor sings, Jesus, I appreciate you. All right, let's read just a little bit tonight, and maybe I'll just exhort you a little bit, maybe not. I don't know what I'll do. I know what I'd like to do. I've got some revelation that's always pressing my heart night and day that I'd like to share with you, but somehow I just don't feel the hunger and the thirst. I come here night after night, and I just don't feel it, you know, and I get away like down in Douglas and I begin to feel that hunger and that thirst and it pulls at me. And I just feel like sharing something with the people. But I don't feel that drive and that hunger and that thirst, you know. Yeah, I feel a little different since there's been some of them fasting. There's been a number of them fasted 2 or 3 days. And Cindy, as you know, went several days without food or without water. And I think Brother Gary's wife went several days without food or without water. And Brother Darrell and them went a number of days fasting. And I don't know how many of them on the job. There's a number of them there with Brother Darrell and them that was fasting. And I can feel a difference in the atmosphere. I can feel a difference. But still ain't got the hunger here among the people that they ought to have for the things of God. But you better hurry. You had better hurry. Brother, I notice Brother Philip is still real interested in the work. He was back again today and Junior was telling me that it looks like that he'll make several $1 million out of the project that he's got going if everything turns out right. And Brother Philip told me today while he's visiting with me, if he makes the several million that it looks like he'll make, he told me today, he said, Brother Pike, I'll be honest with you, I got one desire. He said, that's to do something about God, for God or about at Little Bethlehem. He told Junior a few days ago, said, I want to be a part of them brethren. And he come to me and said, Brother Pike, I want to be a part of what y'all are doing at Little Bethlehem. Said, if there's a place at Little Bethlehem for me, said, I wish you'd let me in. Others are coming. Brother Arthur, he's done pulled his carriage down, or his trailer down. It's done pulled down. He's officially moved down. And I believe they brought in, was it yesterday? Pulled his trailer in yesterday. And I'll tell you what, we need to shake ourselves and get up and be about our Father's business. You know what? Them prodigals will be pulling in here. That's right. Prodigals will be pulling in. The first news you know, some of you boys that's been at home, you'll say, yeah, you done so and so and so and so, but I stayed around all the time. You didn't let me do that. Come on, folks. Some of you already doing it. Some of you already doing it. I'm putting some of them to work, or some of them's going to work and doing things, and you come around and say, well, Brother Pike, I've been here so and so and so and so. You didn't do that for me. I hate to have to turn around and tell you that you never did have no desire to do so and so. You never did have no hunger or thirst. Somebody said, well, don't you think, Brother Pike, that I wanted something? Sure, you wanted something, but not nothing to do something for God with. You just wanted it, that's all. Some of you want a lot down here, but not a lot so you can do something for God. You don't want to live down there on the trailer camp so you can do something for God. You just want to live down on the trailer camp so you don't have nothing to pay. Somebody say amen. I'm not talking out of school up here. I know that's true. The child's known by his doings. Some of you don't even like to even come to church. You live down there for months. Months and months. And you might come to church maybe 3 times out of a month. Some of you, I expect, do good if you come that much. See, you want God's things, the good things, like they followed Jesus for the fishes and the loaves, but they didn't want to do nothing for God. But you watch them prodigals, they're coming in, and as they come in, they're going to do something for God. You just watch and see. They done told me. They want to do something for God. They're moving to come in here to do something for God, and God's got something for them to do. I'd give some of you offices, and you wouldn't do nothing. But you notice I'm moving you out and putting somebody else in your place, too. Going to keep doing that. We're going to eventually move some people out down here on the campground and put some people in their place. You just watch. It's going to work around that way. I'm praying about it. God's done it before. He's going to do it again. Them places down there is for people that want to work for God, not for people to retire in. See, we didn't start a campground just to get a bunch of people so they could retire, so that they could just make a living and say, we live on the campground. That's for God down there. That's to do work for God. You're stealing from God when you do that. You're supposed to come in here as a soldier to work with us to do something for God. If you're not doing that, well, you need to get your place somewhere else. You say, but Brother Pike, you say that all the time. I say that all the time because I mean it. I say it all the time so you'll know it. Boy, that really struck a fellow wrong. I hit a snag then. He thought, yeah, I know you're planning to go. You don't want to, but you're planning. Ever since you've been here, you've been half-hearted and been planning to go. You haven't fooled anybody. You know, we get the idea, well, it's time for me to move. You've had that all the time. You just waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And you just about waited your time out. That's what you've done. You don't have to have that kind of spirit. You don't have to be deceitful. Brother Pike knows what you're doing anyway. God's already given me visions about different ones of you. Told me who you are and what you are and what you're doing, what your plans are, and what your plans was when you first come here. So see, you're not fooling Brother Pike in those things. I just go along with this like Jesus. When he went along with Judas, he just said, friend, and just kept on going. Kept on going. Didn't tell him nothing. Let him go right on with the ministry until that last hour. At that last hour, Judas thought he had it made just like all the rest of them. Jesus picked up something and reached over and gave him a sop and said, whoever I give this sop to. And the Bible said when Jesus done that, Satan entered into him. See, before that time, Satan had not entered into Judas. He was as religious as anybody else, just like Cain. But see, at that supper, at that final moment, Jesus wanted an expose, and he gave it to him. And the Bible said Satan went into his heart, and he went out into the darkness. A lot of you go out into the darkness, see, in the darkness of your carnal mind, like that person that went out here a few weeks ago, and then now they've made the statement that you don't even have to go to church anymore. See, they went out into the darkness. They were already like that. See, a lot of people said, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe they were Christians? The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us and it might be made manifest. They were never of us. See, they give us trouble the whole time they were in our midst because they never was of us. And finally, God made an expose and took them out. There's others here that's not of us. And eventually God will take them out. They've got their mind in the Carolinas with their families. Somebody say amen. I said they've got their mind back in Egypt. They ain't never left their relatives. They've looked back into Egypt ever since they come here and have been half-hearted, and someday they'll go back to Egypt. That's right. Some of them still got their minds on the Carolinas. You'd have been much better off if you'd have stayed in the Carolinas. If that's where your heart is, that's where you ought to stay. That's where you ought to go. You ought to pack up tomorrow and get moving. If your heart's in Texas, you need to go back to Texas. If your heart's in Mexico, you need to go back to Mexico. If your heart's over in Mississippi, you need to go back to Mississippi. If your heart's in God, then you need to go to heaven. We're on a journey to another country. We're on our way, folks. But only they that's got their mind on Christ. The Bible didn't say look back to the Carolinas, look back to Georgia, look back to your relatives, look back to your friends. It said look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. I can't look back at them trails, Bill, for looking at Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, when you speak of that, you're talking about eyes of understanding. When you get your eyes of understanding on Jesus, like the song said, keep your eyes on Jesus and He'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. When you get your eyes on Jesus and them eyes of understanding, you get to looking out there at the Word of God and looking at your fellow man and looking at something that's needful for Christ, then you'll get your eyes off of you. You'll quit thinking what you want to think and thinking what you want to do and thinking about your mother and thinking about your daddy and thinking about your brother and thinking about your sister. You'll quit sitting around spending all your time talking about mom and daddy and brother and sister and getting food and putting money up, making a living, or how many jobs you're going to get, or trading cars or some kind of worldly stuff all the time. You get away from that. The Bible said, let your conversation be holy. Talk about lost souls. Talk about Jesus. Talk about going to heaven. Talk about fasting. Talk about praying. Talk about doing something for God. Talk about evangelizing. Talk about folding some tracts, sending out some harvest to heralds. Amen. Or talk about getting a job laboring that you might have to give. Get your mind on God. Hallelujah. It's hard to preach to folks when they act like some of you act. But I'll preach to you anyway. I got the victory, so I can preach to you folks anyway. Don't bother me a bit. Well, I said don't bother me. It bothers me, but it don't bother me enough to make me want to stop preaching. So then you need to get your mind on God. Somebody said, well, I got my mind on my ministry. Well, you need to get your mind on Jesus. Your ministry will take care of itself. Just get your mind on Jesus. If you get your mind on Jesus, you'd have a ministry and get your mind off of your ministry. Get your mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad to God that I got my mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Some people, if they ever fast a day, if they ever do pray an hour, they got to tell everybody in the country about it, and they got to tell you who they are and what they are and what they're going to do, and all about what you need to do is keep your mouth shut. The Bible said, do your alms in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. That's what you need to do. Keep your mouth shut, pray, fast, seek God, and then ask God to help you. And the Bible said when you pray to seek God, then you don't pray to get a big tent or get on television, get on radio, or to get a following, but you pray to make your voice to be heard on high. When you call on God, the Bible said pray that God will hear you on high. That's why you should pray. It's so that God will hear you on high. If you got any other prayers, it's the wrong kind of prayers. All right. I want to read just a little bit and then preach a little bit. All right. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. This is 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. A lot of men need to know that. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not, for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widow, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command yet, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. All right, now, it said unto the married, I command ye not I, but the Lord. And then he says up above this, it is better to marry than to burn. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, that means to burn in your lust. That don't mean to burn in your lust, it means to burn in hell. God said you better get married and get away from lust or you'll burn in hell. That's the kind of burning he's talking about. It's better to get married than it is to burn in hell because of your evil. But to the rest speak I not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one to let him, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Any called in circumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free in Christ is Christ's servant. Being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment of one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashions of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, and that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and needs so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. This is another thing, too, that people ride as a hobby horse here. They think that if they're going with a girl or dating a girl, that if they get some wild idea, then that they can act up and mistreat and do any filthy, low-down thing they take a notion to do. And God will justify it. That is a lie. It said, let them do what they will, let them marry. In other words, don't keep them back from marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, but the whoremonger God will judge, and the adulterer God will judge. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound to the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. When it says only in the Lord, it means only a Christian. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know what I'll say here, but I want to say something. You know, this is the worst generation that we have ever had in the history of mankind about adultery. They seem like they never stop marrying. They can't get along with one, so they marry the second. They can't get along with the second, so they marry the third. And they can't get along with the third, so they look for another one. men and women alike, they are continually marrying over and over and over again. They're continually married. They never stop marrying. They marry and divorce, marry and divorce. Now, you know, one of the signs of the last days was Jesus made the statement. He said, at the last days, one of the signs of the coming of the Son of Man is that they will be eating and they will be drinking. Now, I said before, it's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. Just eating and drinking wasn't the sign of the coming of the Lord. People have always eaten and drank. But he said they will be eating and drinking. They will be marrying and given in marriage. They've always married and was given in marriage. There was nothing wrong with marrying. That wasn't a sign of the end time. But what God meant was that they will be eating and drinking to excess. They will be. It will be a big time of cafes. It will be a big time of mother and daddy and children eating out at the cafes. It will be a time of partying, a time of having great parties and gatherings and homecomings. It will be a time of picnicking and getting in the parks to eat. It will be a day of overindulgence, of people eating, all the time eating, of getting overweight, always got recipes, everything is looking toward eating. In that day, Jesus said, it will be a day of eating and drinking. He said, when it gets like this, then you'll know the coming of the Lord is at hand. Also, he said, there will be marrying and given in marriage. Not that marriage is wrong. God has ordained marriage, but he said that they would be overdoing it. They will be marrying one time and two times and three times. There will be an excessiveness of marriage in the day of the coming of the Lord. In other words, it'd be a time when people can't be satisfied with each other. Women will dress in such a way until they'll be lustful along the streets. A man can't keep his mind on his own wife because he's lusting after another, because she's made herself to be a harlot in a way of dressing. Form-fitting clothes, bodies bulging out, going down the street in an obscene manner with short miniskirts, tight pedal pushes, all of these kind of things. Wearing pantsuits and everything else. It will be a day of lust. He said it will be an adulterous generation. Now, let me tell you, folks, God doesn't make mistakes. We like to say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with our ladies wearing their pantsuits. God didn't ask you if you saw anything wrong with it. God doesn't run his business according to what you think. It's like the Church of God. They've got into the place to where they don't see anything wrong with people coming to church with suit pants on. God didn't ask them if they seen anything wrong with it. God said it will be an adulterous generation. God doesn't make mistakes. If God said it, that's what it is. We like to say, well, I don't see anything wrong with our generation. I think it's a fine generation. Though they run up and down the beaches with bathing suits on, which is ungodly in the sight of God, and God will burn them in hell for it. Yet we love to believe that's all right. But God said it's wrong. Our ladies go to the hospitals, they strip them down and leave them laying out there like a bunch of cattle. And doctors, men, and every messy mess that goes on in the hospital, it's a filthy, stinking mess in the sight of God. It's adultery. And God will burn them all in hell for it. A lady should be treated like a lady. That's the way she was in the old days. God didn't intend for her to be treated like a pig or a cow. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. God wants a clean-cut generation, folks. Amen. But he said this will be an adulterous generation. He said they'll seek after a sign. They'll want to be on television. They'll want a tent ministry. They'll want to work a miracle. They'll, every time they get up to preach, they got to preach healing. That's all they got on their minds is signs. And people have to run from here to there. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear the word preached. They're looking for a sign. If somebody can give them a sign. They kept saying to Jesus, said, give us a sign, give us a sign. Jesus said, you are a wicked, sinful, adulterous generation. I ain't got no sign for you, he said. I give you one sign, and that is that Christ is risen from the dead. If that ain't enough sign for you, he says, I haven't got a sign for you. So then it is an adulterous generation. They'll go to singings and they'll pile in by carloads to singings and they'll sit there all night but go to preach the word and they stream out every which way. They wouldn't go across the street to hear God speak. It is an adulterous generation trying to mix darkness with light. Now I believe in singing and you know that. I believe in the right kind of singing. I believe the Spirit of God's upon it.
But all of this get together that's a mess, I don't believe in it. I just don't believe in it. If they want to do it, that's their business, but I don't believe in it. I believe that this is a wicked generation. I believe it is a sin-cursed generation. I believe it is a generation that's despised in the sight of God. I believe it's a generation that God will rain fire and brimstone down upon. I believe it is a generation that the Bible teaches will get wicked and more wicked and more wicked. Even the children, a rage of violence, hippies and dope addicts. And I have them to come to my house. Dope addicts that'll sit down there. I had somebody not too long ago. And they'll say, Brother Pike, I'm a flower child. And they want you to sit there and pity them because they call themselves a flower child. I tell you, they got another name for it. It's a blooming, but it's not a flower. And I won't call it. But I'll tell you what, in the sight of God, they're not a flower child. They are a devil. That's what they are. Flower child's nothing. It's a bunch of devils, a bunch of freaks that could get away from the stuff if they would, but they won't. They say, Brother Pike, I just can't get away from it. You are a liar. You can get away from it. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. All you got to do is lay down the ball and quit drinking. You can stop your lying. Don't lie against the truth. Amen. You don't have to drink. You don't have to turn that bottle up. Lay that thing down and get away from it. You don't have to suck on cigarettes and chew the cud. Get away from it. It's ungodly. It's unlike Jesus. You don't have to wear pedal pushes and pants suits and mini skirts. Get away from it. You don't have to be a thief and a robber and cheat. Beat your bill collectors and dodge at every corner. You don't have to be a long-tongued gossiper. You don't have to run from house to house and run your tongue all the time and backbite. You don't have to sit in church and resent every time you come to church. You don't have to lust after somebody else's wife or husband or daughter. You don't have to do it. You do it because you want to do it. You do it because you lust to do it. You do it because you're not willing to fast and pray a little bit and keep that old body under subjection. Paul said, I keep my body under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. And he tells us to abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. He tells us to restrain ourselves. The love of God constrains us. You don't have to be deceitful. You don't have to be ungodly. You don't have to be lazy. Hallelujah. You can get up and do something. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm just so sluggish. You're not just sluggish, you're just lazy. That's what's wrong with you. Somebody said, I just ain't got no get up and go. If you'd pray and fast a little bit, you'll get up and go because God will set a fire under you. Amen. I never will forget what old Brother Dan said about a man that didn't get up and go. He was telling me over in Mississippi, he said, I can tell you what make a man get up and go. Chew his cud and spit. And I said, what, Dan? He said, like the old turtle, said, just build a fire under him. Amen. And when God shakes you over the flames of hell and gets a fire under you, it'll make you get up and go. You say, I just can't get up. Just let him hold you over hell for a little bit. You'll get up and go. You'll have a bit of trouble. What it is, we just become a bunch of lazy people. America is lazy people. Used to our granddads and grandmothers and forefathers get out there and chop wood and get out there and work and get out there and build an old log cabin. Get out there and plant a field and reap it down. But we got a bunch of lazy, educated, no good people. Amen. Spend all their time in college and then get out and try to cheat and rob and steal and won't hit a lick at nothing. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to preach it whether you say hallelujah or not. You might as well say hallelujah. It's true. And I'm here to witness for the truth. People starving to death in Mexico and Africa and other places when we ought to be doing something for them. And I know a bunch of them's lazy too. There are some lazy people in Mexico. I've been down there. I'm not pitying Mexico. There's some of the laziest people I've ever seen in Mexico. Amen. You can say amen. I hit a sore spot then, but it's still true anyway. And I told the Spanish people that. I said, some of you are lazy. It's here in the United States. It's in Mexico too. I tell you what, there's some lazy people in Africa too. They've got people in Africa that wouldn't work for nothing. Some of them are poor folks starving to death. Some of them are poor and starving to death. Some of them just lazy and want to live off the fat of the land. They don't want to do nothing. Somebody say amen. Praise God, it's everywhere. It's in Germany, it's in Europe, everywhere I've ever been, I've seen it. But we need to get up and do something for God. We need to labor in the Spirit. Labor for God. Do something for God. Hallelujah. I appreciate Jimmy Carter for one thing. He might not be everything that you want, but at least he's willing to work in a peanut field. He's got some get up and go about it. Amen. He's willing to get rid of some of them fellas up here in the White House that I said I'd get rid of if I was up there. I feel like it's answering my prayer. I made the statement a number of years ago. I said, if I was up there, I'd clean that place out. And it looks like he's about to do it. I said, God, give us somebody in Washington to get rid of some of those lazy golf players up there. And those playboys, it's on the salaries and other people having to work for. God, get them out of there. Amen. I feel good. Hallelujah. So then I believe that we ought to do something, folks. I'm not upset at anybody. I love you and God loves you. But I believe when Jesus turned him money tables over, he was disturbed. Somebody said, well, I think he just got a little upset. I don't think that. The Bible teaches that he sat outside that temple and he got him a whip and he planted that whip that was premeditated before he ever got in there. He didn't just get in there and lose his temper. The Bible said before he ever entered into that place, he planted that whip and he was ready when he went in there. He knew what was going on in there. And when he got in there, he meant business, folks. Amen. The man said, I remember my faults. Have you remembered any of yours? It's time folks start remembering their faults. It's time they quit being lazy. It's time they begin to get up and do something for God. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to speak the truth. Bible said growing up in the fullness of God, speaking the truth. Somebody said, well, around little Bethlehem, Brother Pike, I just don't see nothing to do. Get out there on the field. I say, here we're putting up a tent and we're doing something, having a meeting. Well, I just don't see nothing to do. A lazy man never does see anything to do. Because he's lazy, he's got it in his mind, somebody else is going to do it. Everything he passes by, he said, well, I would do it, but go down the street, said, I would have picked that man up along the street there, but, you know, and I'd like to pick him up, but something just tells me he might be a murderer, he might be a killer, he might be this, he might be that. So he passed him up, and he passed another, and then he passed another up. Another fellow come along, said, well, I don't know what he is, but there's one thing about the man needs a testimony, maybe I can help him. Somebody say hallelujah. I know you can't pick up every person along the road. I know there's a lot of tramps that don't do nothing but just tramp up and down the road. That's right. God let me hitchhike a little bit out there years ago so I could feel their infirmities and so I could find out about some of the tramps that wasn't going to do nothing no way. There's men out there that's had plenty of money and had plenty of good jobs and everything else that don't want to do nothing but drink and bum. It wouldn't do nothing else, no matter what. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God, we need to wake up, people. We need to get stirred up. We need to get our minds awake for God. This is a sinful and an adulterous generation. They marry one time, two times, 10 times. They break up homes. I talked to that man today, and he was telling me that after living with his wife over 20 years, they separated. I said, my goodness, I said, by that time you'd already raised your family. He said, yes, that's right. I said, and then separate. Yes. Can you imagine that? Some old gray-haired woman just can't keep her body passions under control. Some old gray-haired man, he's just so wild with lust and passion because of magazines and billboards and television programs and pantsuits and everything until he's just going crazy. They're living like a bunch of dogs. I mean all of them. Old ones and young ones alike. I got a report the other day, and I wished I could remember what the average was. But hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of them living together. Not married, but just living together. And won't marry. I even talked to some of them. And I asked him, I said, why do you do that? They said, well, if we have a marriage license and my wife can't get the benefits of the freeloading. Said, if we don't marry, she can get all the free benefits and I can get all the free benefits. So we just make an agreement to live together. It is a sin-cursed generation. And they're expecting pity. The devil expects pity. You can't pity the devil. The devil is the devil. Anybody that would get drunk and slice somebody's throat. Anybody that would pin somebody up in prison. anybody would set somebody to the electric chair. You can't tell devils and demons. Anybody that would peddle dope and drive people to dope, that's devils and demons. You can't pity that kind of thing. When people come around talking to you about being a Jesus freak, they are a lie. There's no such thing as a Jesus freak. They're a devil freak. And they start telling you they're some kind of flower child. There's no such thing as a flower child. They're a devil. They need to get their crooked, wretched lives straightened up. And they need to turn away from sin. They say, well, I just can't get off of it. They are lying. They can get off of it. They don't want to get off of it. They like that thing of laying around doing nothing. They like that thing of going around making it easy by doping up others and taking advantage of them. Devils and demons. Wives sit around and lust after man and say, honey, I just can't help it. You can help it if you'll get rid of the devil. If you'll get rid of that devil of lust, you can help it. You can't help it if you're going to be half in and half out. Every time a man comes through the house and you're going to drool after him like flies running after syrup. Amen. You're never going to be free of it if you're that kind of person. That man's never going to be free. If he's the kind of person that says, well, I just can't help it. They just do something to me. Like a man here a while back, I went to him and talked to him about God. And I said, man, you need to get straightened out with the Lord. He said, I'll tell you, Brother Pike. He said, man, and women's just getting pretty and prettier. Said, it looks like they're just getting pretty and prettier. Said, they just get a hold of me. I told him it wasn't nothing but a devil of lust and he needed to get his rotten life straightened out. He wanted me to agree with him, you know, that he just couldn't help it. In a few days, he was dead. He was a young man. But he had a heart attack and died in the middle of the night just a few days after I talked with him. Folks, God isn't playing with you. You can't pity devils and you can't pity demons. God will kill you. Let me tell you something. When you don't know any better, when you don't understand, when you don't understand any better, when you don't know, when nobody's never told you, then God will be merciful to you because you don't know, you don't understand. But folks, when God tells you about the gospel and somebody comes and tells you about the gospel, then you are accountable to God and God will require it of you and God will kill you. The Bible said, beware you that forget God lest I tear you into pieces. I want to remind you again, he didn't say lest the devil tear you into pieces. He said, lest I tear you into pieces. I wound. I'm the one that binds up. I create the good. I create the evil. I'm the one that prepares your heart unto destruction because you wouldn't listen to me. I'm the one that turns you over to reprobate mind. I reap where I have not strown. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? God said, I kill and I make alive. Is that right? He said, I kill, I make alive. I raise up, I put down. God does it. Is that right? So then you need to humble your heart or God will prepare your soul to destruction. You start being haughty and contrary and won't listen to the gospel and won't humble your soul. And God will prepare your mind to think all kind of things. But it'll come out the wrong way. It'll come out the wrong way. God will let a devil come along and talk to you and say, hey, pick this up over here. Ain't nobody going to ever know about it. Come on, pull this little deal over here. Why would God do that? Because he's done seen you pulling a few deals around the corner and hurting people and he tried to get you to stop maybe for months and for years and you wouldn't stop and God done got tired of it, so he just prepares your heart by letting the devil come over and talk you into stealing something, knowing that there's a trap waiting for you all the time and knowing that he's going to put you behind bars for 10 years because of the way you're doing. Folks, you can't take advantage of people and get by with it. You can't take advantage of souls and get by with it. You can't be a loose leaf, as the world calls it, and get by with it. You can't steal another man's wife and get by with it. You can't defile another man's daughter and get by with it. You can't marry one time and two times and three times and 10 times and get by with it. God will destroy you. It is an adulterous generation. They lust after each other. There is so much adultery that they go up the street and the way they're dressed, they continually lust after each other. They lust after the billboards. These evil movies, everywhere they go, they've got something about sex across the billboards everywhere you go. Movies that's open to women and open to children. If we had a president, and I say this about Jimmy, Jimmy ain't had a good chance yet. And I hope God will wake him up to it, and I hope he'll be a real man. But if he don't, I mean it for Jimmy just like I do the rest of them. If we had a president was half a president, he'd get rid of those sex movies, and he'd get rid of that sex magazine and all of that filth. If he was just half a man, he'd do it. He wouldn't have to be a president. If he's just a half a man, he'd do it. Knowing that little children are exposed to such, and that those things have literally rotten the minds of our children. Folks, you've sat back and let television and let magazines and let these other things literally rotten the soul and mind of your children. You've done it. Somebody said, I don't understand why our youngins has turned out to be hippies. I got the answer to it if you don't know. Somebody said, well, I wrote a book. It's a little book on philosophy. I went to college 10 years and I studied this thing out. And here's a little book that'll tell you how to raise your children. That ain't the trouble. Here's the book you need right here. God's Word. It's been good all down through the years. What kind of thing's wrong? The Bible said the mamas and daddies have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. It's because of the rottenness in your life, mom and daddy, that called that youngin' to do like he did. If you'd have got the rottenness out of your life, you'd have produced a good apple. Amen. A good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Somebody said, well, I don't see where that's got anything to do with it. Well, it's got everything to do with it. Somebody said, I can't help what my youngins do. You certainly can help it. The Bible said, train up the child in the way that it should go. When it's old, it will not depart from it. That tree will produce the right fruit. But if you let them run around in tights and shorts and bathing suits and see movies and drink and be drunken and fellowship and hug and kiss in the home and everywhere else and play around, they're going to turn out to be freaks. Devils. You'll need to do something about it. It's up to you, mom and daddy, to do something about it. It's up to me to do something about it. And I tell you what, I've tried in my lifetime to do something about it. I've laid some leather on mine. I've told them how I felt about it, and I've laid the belt on them. Not only have I done that, but that ain't enough. I preached the gospel to them, and I took them to church. Now I've heard people say, well, my mom and daddy took me to church all my life, and that's why I don't go to church, you liar. You liar. That's why you don't go to church. You are possessed of a devil. That's why you don't go to church. God's word's true. God said, train up the child in the way it ought to go. When it's old, it'll not depart from it. The truth is, your mom and daddy never did take you to church and make you behave and listen to the preacher. He might have drugged you off over there and let you suck on cigarettes outside and pop firecrackers and run around and curse and pull pranks and cut on the benches and sit back and giggle and everything else. And that's why you don't want to go. But I believe it's something else too, folks. I believe we got to pray for our kids. I've been praying for my youngins for over 20 years, and I believe you got to pray for them. I believe God will straighten them out. I believe God will straighten them out. I intend to pray to God until he does straighten them out. Amen. I don't intend to stand by and give my youngins to the devils. Amen. I intend to pray. Glory to God, the Bible said Daniel prayed. Daniel rang the prayer bells of heaven and he prayed. You might not be praying for that little boy that's running around calling himself a flower child, but I'm praying for him. I'll tell him to his face that he's got a devil, but I'll pray for him. I'll tell him about Jesus and the love of God, but when I get home at night and get on my knees, I'll pray for him. Because I don't want to see him go to prison. I don't want to see him go to the electric chair. If you don't care nothing about him, I care something about him. He might not be my son, but I'll tell you one thing. He is a human being. He is God's creature, and God sent me to preach the gospel and be concerned about him. And I'm going to pray for him. But I'll tell him to his face that he's got a devil. Amen. He needs to get rid of it, and he can get rid of it.
You lay around. Can't pay your bills. Come on, folks. Don't go to sleep on me now. I'll be through in a minute. Lay around and won't pay your bills and won't treat your fellow man right. And you can't stay in Georgia and you can't stay in the Carolinas. You can't stay in Alabama. You can't stay nowhere. You're like a worm on a hot rock because you got a devil driving you. You're called to preach. You're called to cheat one day and preach the next day. Somebody say amen. I said you're called to swindle and cheat one day and pitch a fit one day and curse and drink and snort one day. And then the next day you're called to preach. God ain't got no such preachers. But when God calls a preacher, he calls a preacher to live holy and live right. Amen. Every day in the week, I feel good. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. God wants you to do right. If you're to be a preacher, the Bible said, let him be of a good report of them that are without. That means out there. Out there, them people out there. You got to be of a good report of them people out there. They might not like what you're doing, but brother, they'll have to stand up out there and say, the man pays his bills. The man at least makes a half effort to do right. And the Bible said, then let him be of a good report in the church. Instead of going around and say, that old bunch of brothers, you know, that old bunch of brothers in Douglas, that old bunch of brothers over there at Little Bethlehem, that old bunch of brothers over in the Carolinas. Why, that devil's always talking and a snorting and a finding fault, always. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's always doing that. He just won't live right and won't straighten up his wretched life, and he's always blaming somebody else with it. The devil's always done that. Look back in the garden. When God began to pull Adam and Eve to the line, Eve began to say, the old serpent done it. Adam began to say, the woman done it. But there's one thing about it. God placed the blame where it was supposed to go. He said, woman, you're going to bring forth children in sorrow because of your evil doings. And she's done it. He said, man, because of what you've done, he said, you're going to labor among the thorns. Just because they said what they did, that didn't make God change the judgment. Isn't that right? You might say what you want to, but God's going to bring it down to your house just like it is, my friend. Just like it is. So then what have we got? We got a crooked, miserable, wretched generation. An adulterous generation. I tell you again, if you get in a double marriage, you are going to go to hell. I don't care what your preacher tells you, what the Catholic people tell you, what the Baptist people tell you, or what the Church of God tells you. The Bible said you're going to hell for it. When you get in a double marriage, you're on your way to hell. There's no need to come to me when you're in a double marriage and ask me what I think about it. I done told you what I think about it. If that wife has been put away for fornication, the Bible says, then are you free to marry another. That's the Bible. If that woman ain't been put away for fornication, you are on your way to hell if you marry another one. You say, well, we just couldn't get along. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Say, well, I didn't like the way she made her biscuits. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The court will give you a divorce. I've heard of them giving divorces over eating soda crackers in the bed. And now they got a trial program where you can marry for 2 or 3 weeks or months, and if you don't like each other, then you can go get you another one. I noticed that even the Methodist Church has got a little thing called the divorce ceremony now. If you're going to have a divorce, then they ask you to come into the Methodist Church and they have a talk with you. And they say, now you listen, because you're going to leave each other, we don't want you to leave the Methodist Church because we still love you. That's all right. But that's a good hypocritical way to get somebody blinded to the gospel. Why don't they just be honest and say, now we don't want you to leave the church if you divorce because we're not interested in your soul anyway. We are afraid if you leave the church and get upset at each other, we won't get that income every week out of you. Somebody tell it just like it is. That's the way that it is. Brother, if the word of God tells you that if a woman marries again, she's going to go to hell, she's going to go to hell. When she stands in the day of judgment, she's just as sure to hear God say, depart from me that work iniquity, and see herself going down the flames as I am that I'm standing here preaching this word tonight.
It's the same way with a man. The Bible said if any man, it don't make no difference if he's a president, it don't make no difference if he's a governor, it don't make no difference if he's a Sunday school teacher, it don't make no difference if he's rich or poor, if he's a preacher or whatnot. God said if any man put away his wife for any other reason. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. Yes, you do. You're just a liar. You do understand it. You just don't want to understand it. That's what it is. You got that old sex lust devil and you don't want to get rid of it. You understand exactly what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying. What is it? God said if you put her away for any other reason, it wouldn't make no difference if she picked up a gun and she shot you in the head and you got over it. You put her away, you're still wrong. You might not be able to live in the same house and her having a double barrel gun. You might have to put her in another room and get out of there. Amen. You might not be able to live on the same street with her, but just as sure as you divorce her, you're in trouble. She's still yours. Whether she blows your brains out or not, she's still yours. You got her. You said you took her for better or worse, and you got the worst out of it, so you got to live with it. Either in the house with her or in the grave. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's some of them that'll do it too. I heard of, especially Spanish women, I heard of a Spanish woman not too long ago. You know, when a Spanish woman's got her husband, he's her husband. That's right. And this man got his mind on somebody else. And this girl, she just took a razor blade and she slipped it in her teeth just like that. And when he went to put his arms around her and kiss her, she just ripped his throat. Just cut his throat. You understand what I'm saying? He took her for better or worse. And that's the way it worked out. Now, that's the way God is. God don't have two-timers. Brother, you either live with God or you go to hell. You don't swap wives and you don't swap husbands and you don't live with women unmarried. You don't run around and have affairs with young girls or with married women or whatever, or married women and go to heaven. You don't do it. Somebody said, well, I did all that back there when I was out in sin. A lot of you did a lot of that filth back out there when somebody had already preached the gospel to you. And even if you come and repent, you're going to pay for some of that. It might be a sickness in your body for the rest of your life. It might be the loss of an eye. It might be the loss of an arm. It might be some condition in your body, but you're going to pay for that. Jesus said, whatever a man sows, he shall reap. It might be sorrow for the rest of your life, but you're going to pay for it. Folks, when you hear the gospel, it's time to do something. Amen. That's why people die after they come to little Bethlehem. And more people dead, they come to little Bethlehem and they hear the gospel and then they go out and die because they don't straighten up. Now you might go to some church and they might not preach the gospel to you. They might tell you a fairy tale or might tell you some kind of pitiful story to cause you to bawl, or they might tell you some kind of Bible story. But I'm telling you the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said you repent of your sins or every one of you will perish. God said you repent of your sins, and not only repent of your sins, but you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, or you'll go to hell. That's the Bible. God ain't got no two or three ways. It ain't no Methodist. It ain't no Baptist. It ain't no Pentecostal. It ain't no UPC. It's repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. For that's the only name that's got remission of sin in it. And if you refuse it, you will go to hell. I don't care if you call yourself Church of God or Methodist or whatever you call yourself. When God said be baptized in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, He meant be baptized in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and not in some other name or not some other way. He didn't mean for somebody to come sprinkle a little water on top of your head. He said be baptized. The grave, that is a watery barrel. God's going to take these preachers, some of these preachers that sprinkling people and going through all these things and teaching them a half a dozen ways to be baptized. God's going to put them people in hell and going to be some of the first that's going to lead the way. Somebody said, oh, I don't think that baptism in Jesus' name matters. It just matters this much that you'll go to hell if you're not baptized in Jesus' name. That's the only thing about it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, what if you don't know? What do you mean if you don't know? If you know Brother Pike, you just about know. Because I preached it enough since you knowed me. Amen. So don't say, Brother Pike, what if you don't know? Amen. The man that don't know probably ain't met Brother Pike. Because if I stayed around him long enough, I told him he needed to get baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not one of these compromising preachers that get into the Baptist pulpit and preach like the Baptist preacher. Get in the Methodist pulpit and preach like the Methodist preacher. Get around the Catholic people and preach like a priest. I got one message, and that's God's message, and he's got one message, and that's repent of your sins. And if you don't repent of your sins, you'll die and go to hell. And then it's followed up by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And if you don't be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that means you haven't had any remission of sin. Your sins have not been remitted. Because the Bible said there's none other name given unto heaven whereby there's remission of sin. I challenge anybody in the world, it don't make no difference what kind of Bible scholar they are, what kind of church they went to, I challenge anybody in the world to show me where there's remission of sin anywhere in the lids of the Bible, except in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it said, whosoever called upon the name of the Lord. I know that. And what did the man over the street straight tell Paul? What did he tell him? What did he tell him? When the angel of God told him, said, you go there and find the man that's on the street called straight. And Paul went over there, and Paul was a good man, folks. Paul said, as touching the law, I am blameless. Is that right? While we ain't got a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or nobody else can say that. He said, as touching the law, I am blameless. But that wasn't good enough, was it? The man at the street called straight said, Paul, you be baptized in Jesus' name. Is that right? He said, you go down in the water calling on the name of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean, call on the name of the Lord? It means to trust in the name that there's remission of sin in it. It means to call on the name for salvation. That's what it means. He said, repent of your sins, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that means if I just say Jesus saved me, he's going to save me. Well, then if that's true, then I'm a false prophet. Might as well close the book and go home. Say, well, that's what our preacher said. Well, then I'm a false prophet. If that's all it means, then I'm a false prophet. Because my Bible says that many shall say, Lord, Lord. Many shall say, Lord, Lord. You say, but Brother Pike, if I do my best and I try, that don't make it right. The Bible said, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. Say, well, if I get down on my knees and I cry and repent, God will hear me. That don't do it either. The Bible said he sought repentance with bitter tears, and God would not grant him a place of repentance. That don't mean it, see. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, so calling on him like that, that ain't the right way. Somebody said, but if I call on the name of Jesus Christ, he saved my soul. Well, if that's true, then why does the Bible say, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved? You could call on the name of God for 10 years, but if you don't endure to the end, you're not going to be saved. Why does the Bible say, he that the one that stands in the holy hill of God is he that backbiteth not with his tongue? If just calling on the name of the Lord is all there is to it, why did God say you better not be backbiting with your tongue? He said, because if you backbite with your tongue, you're not going to stand in the holy hill of God. Come on, folks. I'm talking about the gospel. Why does the Bible say the Spirit of God has appeared unto every man, teaching him that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that he should live soberly and righteously in this present world? Why did the angel say over there to Zacharias, say that God's ordained that you should serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life? Is that right? Come on, folks. There's more to it than what you've heard. You got to do something. You got to do something. You got to live right. You got to shed off that old carcass of yours. You got to get rid of that sin of yours. You got to remember your faults. You got to line up. The Bible said if any man, it don't make any difference if it's Brother Pike or whoever it is. It said if any man seem to be religious among you, whether it's Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, or whatnot, if he seem to be religious among you, and if he doesn't bridle his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. He might be as religious as Cain was, but if he don't bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. Somebody said, but I got faith. You can't have no faith outside the Word of God. Come on now, folks. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's that faith coming by the hearing of God's Word. Is that right? I can't say, Lord, I believe. I can't say, God, I believe if I don't believe in the Word. I would be a liar. Isn't that right? There is but one faith, whatever the Word says. That's what I've got to believe. That's the only salvation there is believing in the Word.
The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if your faith is in the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And the Word of God said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so then there's only one way. They sang that song, there's one, only one way to God, be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't really believe a man will go to heaven by being baptized in Jesus' name. I certainly don't. There's been hundreds of people that baptized in Jesus' name is going to go to hell. Being baptized in Jesus' name ain't got a thing to do with it. Come on, folks. Amen. Then how are you saved? By faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And what do? If you have faith in Jesus' name, you get baptized in Jesus' name. Because your faith is shown by your works. If you don't go through with it, you don't have any faith in the Word of God. Now you say, but what if people don't know? Well, it's one thing about it. If they don't know, I'll admit this one thing, that God will be lenient with them. Is that right? The servant that knew not to do his Lord's will, that committed things worthy of stripes, is going to get a whipping, as the Bible said. So you thought I was going to say it another way, didn't you? It said the man that knew not to do his Lord's will shall be beaten. Is that right? Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, but if you are ignorant, you're going to be beaten. But he said, not with many stripes. Not near as many as the man that knew to do his Lord's will and didn't do it. Is that right? The servant that knew not to do his Lord's will but shall be beaten, but with few stripes. Is that right? But the one that did not, or the one that did know, shall be beaten with many stripes. So then we are inexcusable. You're going to have to do the Lord's will. What is the Lord's will? Now I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. Get rid of that old resentment you got. Get rid of that old hungry devil of yours that causes your belly to expand like a balloon. Somebody say amen. Amen. Stop eating yourself to death. Get rid of that old lazy spirit that causes you to sit around till you have a heart attack. Get rid of that old devil that causes you to say, well, I got to put a few dollars in the bank over here. I got to have something to feed my belly with. The Bible said all of your labor's for your belly because your belly craves it of you. And the Bible said God put the serpent on his belly. And you've been on your belly ever since. Amen. Is that right? Get rid of that old carnal mind that the Bible says enmity with God. Is that right? Get rid of it, folks. Get down to business with God. Get rid of adultery. Get rid of filth. Get rid of evil thoughts. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. Cast down imagination. Don't do wrong. Don't think wrong. Come down, David said, to the intent of the heart and make it right with God. Let every intent of the heart be holy. Then you're getting somewhere with God. Is that right? So then it's faith in God's word, but that faith is shown by what you do. All right, stand with me. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, why do you preach like that? Because that's the kind of preacher I am. Did it ever dawn on you that that's the kind of preacher I am? That's why I preach like that. Now, see, if you listen to some other kind of preacher, he'd preach like he preached. Because that's the kind of preacher he is. Well, this is the kind of preacher I'm at. I am. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I believe in holiness, folks. I believe it's holiness or I believe it's hell. I don't believe there's nobody going to heaven without holiness. The Bible said without holiness no man shall see God. And as far as I'm concerned, if God said it, he isn't going to alter it. He isn't going to change it. If that person don't have holiness, they are going to hell. Somebody said, well, I belong to the Methodist Church. Well, you better be a holy Methodist. Somebody said, I belong to the Presbyterian. Well, you better be a holy Presbyterian. Say, well, what is the holy one? The Bible said God has purified our hearts by faith. What kind of faith? Faith in the Word? What does the Word say? Be baptized in Jesus' name. If that's the kind of Presbyterian you are, you're a good one. If that's the kind of Methodist you are, you're a good one. Amen. If you belong to the Catholic Church and you believe the Word and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you go to heaven just like I will. Amen. But if you belong to the Catholic Church and you believe anything outside the Word, then you don't have any faith. And you haven't been saved because you're saved by faith. You don't have God's Spirit either because God's Spirit is His Word. In the beginning was God the Spirit who became the Word. And he's still the Word today. And faith in that Spirit is what saves you. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Is that right? So then, whatever you are, you need to do one thing. It's obey the Bible. It don't make no difference what denomination you belong to, what group you belong to, what sect you belong to. If you belong to the Masons, if you belong to the Woodmans of the world, that ain't going to save you. Some people just go mixed up. They think because they belong to the Woodmans of the world or because they belong to the Masons, they get together and they quote a little Bible scripture, you know, or read something, little something in the Bible. And they believe because they do that, then they're Christians. You say, Brother Pike, you're just a hard preacher. Folks, I'm not hard. I ain't turned over one of them benches yet. Hey? I hadn't took the end of this cord yet and drove y'all out of here. I ain't got warmed up good yet. See, I'm just hitting the light places. But I tell you what, if you think this is hard, boy, you wait till you hug your pillar on your deathbed and you can't get to the water hole to be baptized in Jesus' name. And that thing comes swinging back at you like a boomerang and something screams out, I told you! You say, my God, my God, my God, like my granddaddy did. I kept telling my granddaddy and telling my granddaddy and he wouldn't listen. He was stubborn. But when he started hugging his death pillar, he cried out. And he said, boy, if God would just give me another chance. But God didn't give him another one. He had all them many years, about 60 or 70 years, and he didn't do it. Somebody said, if I just had my life to live over, you'd do the same thing. Amen. You'd do the same thing. If he let you live it over, you'd do the same thing, make the same mistakes. You've got to do what you can with what you got, folks. If you got 10 days, do what you can with it. If you got 10 years, do what you can with it. Don't go to looking back. Just do what you can with what you got left. Amen. Isn't that right? Somebody said, if I had $10,000, Brother Pike, I'd do such and such. You're lying. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. The Bible said if you're faithful over a little, you'll be faithful over a lot. The little widow, she had just enough to feed her baby and just enough to feed her and then was going to die, but she gave it to God. She was faithful over it and God gave her a lot. See, if she'd have had $10,000, she'd have been faithful over it. If you're faithful, you're just faithful. Faithfulness don't come because of the amount that you got. Faithfulness is in your heart, my brother and sister. Somebody said, if I had a better husband, I'd be a better wife. You're a liar. Amen. You're a liar. Somebody said, if I had a better wife, I'd be a better husband. You're a liar too. Good wives and good husbands don't make good wives and good husbands. You understand what I'm saying? Just cause your wife's good, that ain't gonna make you good. Cause you good, that ain't gonna make her good. Jesus said there's none good but God. Isn't that right? You understand what I'm saying? So then the only way to be good is be one with God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Believing in God. I can't blame my wife if I want to be low down. If I want to be sorry and low down and drink and curse and snort, I can't blame her with it. It'd just be my sorriness, as my dad used to say. You know, the old folks had a word, they just called it plain sorriness. And dad used to tell me, he said, son, if you want to be sorry, you can be sorry. Say, if you want to be something, you can be something for God. Whatever it is, you know. I believe that. So then don't you go blaming the husband, don't you go blaming the wife, it's just you. The worst enemy you got is you. How do you know that's true? Somebody says, them old brethren. No, it ain't them old brethren. You're a liar. It ain't them old brethren. It's you. It's that old devil you got. That's what it is. Why don't you place the blame where it belongs? Quit accusing the brethren. Quit accusing God. You know, when you do it to the brethren, you've done it to God anyway. If you do it to the least of the brethren, you do it to God. Every time you accuse these brethren, you done said something against Jesus. Amen. That's right. You love the Lord. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. They said, when did we see you like this, Lord? He said, when you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to me. See, he can feel the infirmities through your body tonight. All right, you love the Lord? Are you praying for the sick, folks? Are you? Somebody said, well, you just wait till I get my ministry. I'm going to pray for the sick. You're just a silly boy that needs to, you're still in your diapers, that's all. You're still in your diapers. That's all that's wrong with you. If you want to pray for the sick, I'll tell you how to do it. When everybody's asleep tonight and about 9 or 10, 11 o'clock, you get up and pray for the sick tonight. You don't like that kind of ministry, do you? You know why? Because nobody don't see it. If you pull a 10-day fast, you know the kind of ministry you want? Is everybody to know about it, to put it on the radio. Somebody say amen. See, if you want to pray for the sick, get in your prayer closet and pray for them. Go over to the hospital and pray for them. If you want a ministry, get your job and go to work and give to the gospel and give to the poor and give to the needy. Jesus said, you've done it to them, you do it to me. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't see how I can do all that and preach. I used to do it. Somebody said, you don't do it, Brother Pike. I tell you what, when I used to do that, I didn't have near as much to do as I have now. You can believe that. I have worked on a job, and God is my witness, as if I've ever told it in my life. I've worked on a job and sweat so much on the job from straining and working. Come to the pulpit, I couldn't even hardly raise my voice to even yell at the people, let alone try to preach to them. I'd be that weak, but I still preach the gospel. I don't have to do it today, but I got a whole lot of other things I have to do. That's right. Just because a man ain't working on a job, that don't mean he's running footloose and fancy free, as the world says. He better burn some midnight oil. He better call on God. He better carry a load. He better carry a cross. No, sister, I'm not bragging. If you burn any midnight oil, then you got no right to judge me then. I'm another man's servant. I ain't yours. To God I stand to fall. If you quit judging me in your mind, you'll be better off. You love the Lord? I appreciate the Lord, don't you? I appreciate the Lord. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. But folks, one of these days, I'm going to stand there before an angry God. And he's going to look at me and he's going to look at you. Paul said we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. And a lot of times I'm rude in speech because I'm not a polished scholar. I don't want to be a polished scholar. I want to be a soul winner. And to be a preacher, you got to be rude in speech. I'll stand there before God someday, and I'm going to have to give an account for everything I've ever said to you, everything I've ever failed to say to you. And when I stand there, I want God to look at me. He might turn me into hell. He might do. He can do whatever he wants to. After I preach all my life, if he wants to turn me into hell, he can do it. I'm his. Ain't nothing you can do about it, I can do about it, and nobody else can do about it. But there's one thing about it. When I stand there before him, I want to know that I told you what was right and what was wrong and what God required of you. And when I stand there with that Methodist preacher, and he's going to stand there with me, you better believe he's going to stand right there beside me. There ain't going to be a Methodist church up there and a Baptist church and a Presbyterian and a Catholic. That Catholic priest is going to be right there by Brother Pike's side. And that Methodist preacher is going to be right there, and that Baptist preacher is going to be right there, and that UPC preacher is going to be right there, and that non-denominational preacher is going to be right there. All of us are going to stand right there together, and God said the book was open. And he's going to look at us, and he's going to read the book. He's going to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word never has changed from the beginning. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Paul said, in the last days, the Word I speak shall judge you. And he's going to open the book, and he's going to look down the book. And he's going to say, gentlemen, here the first church was set up. And I said at this first church that this was the beginning of the gospel, that it must first be preached in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, that you was to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of my Son Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Baptist preacher, I told you this. Methodist preacher, I told you this. Brother Pike, I told you this. Catholic priest, I told you this. Is this what you told the people? I have one word. That's my word right here. And the Spirit and Word agrees. And I want to see if your word, Brother Pike, agrees with what I said. And he's going to say, did you, just put in my own words now, did you baptize people in Jesus' name? Did you sprinkle a few drops of water over their head? Did you baptize them in some other name? Did you baptize them in some other way? I said, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. That's the Catholic, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, and all of the preachers and the laity. Is that what you did? Is that what you preached? Is that what the people did? Can't you just imagine what I'm saying? But Heavenly Father, don't you know I'm a Baptist preacher? See, we don't believe that in a Baptist church. See, I went to college in a different teaching. And another said, well, I'm a Methodist preacher, Heavenly Father. Don't you know we don't believe in that, you know. And another said, I'm a Presbyterian. And another says, well, I'm a Catholic priest. And one said, well, you know, all we believe in is sprinkling. God will say, depart from me, you bunch of hypocrites. That's what he'll say. Depart from me, you bunch of hypocrites. If he called them hypocrites when he was on the earth in the body of Jesus, he'll call them hypocrites then. He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Is that right? And when he gets through, ain't going to be nobody standing there but them that confess the word and believe the word and live the word. Is that right? That's what I want to do. I want to confess the word, believe the word, and live the word. And I want to tell you the word. And folks, a lot of gospels, they call it, Paul said, another gospel, whereas there's not really another, he said. A lot of gospels. But there's one thing I can tell you for sure and for certain. The one that Brother Pike's preaching will do to die by. I've heard people say some will do to live by. I don't even know none to do to live by. If it ain't the word of God, it won't do to live by, because sooner or later you're going to run into trouble trying to live by it. This one will do to live by, and this one will do to die by too. As a matter of fact, this will keep you from dying. I want to pray for this little lady here. When they come up to the altar like this, I'm not trying to keep them waiting. I just have to finish what the Lord wants me to do before I can get around to praying for them. I appreciate him coming. Don't want to embarrass them or hurt them for nothing. Glad to do it, but I can't just stop. Sometimes I have some of them come up and question me. Well, I don't just stop. I can't do that. I have to wait until I feel that that's what I'm to do. You love the Lord? Sometimes I'm on the verge of reaching a soul for Jesus. So when you come to the altar, just love me, understand me, and be patient. And I will pray for you with all my heart. So then, folks, I love you, and I want to help you. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. There's people that's dead and passed on. They done gone their way. And I told them the truth while they were living. I told them the truth. If I'd have never told my dad the truth, he'd have never been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the great Spirit of God. But I told him the truth. Dad didn't like it too much when I told him the truth. But finally he came to it. There's some of you sitting out there, and you know this is the truth if I ever told it in my life. I told you when your mothers and daddies was living, I said, go to your mothers and daddies and tell them that they got to repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. But you wouldn't do it. There's a number of you here that your parents are dead and in the grave, and you wouldn't tell them. I said, when they're dead and in hell, you'll wish you had told them. Folks, I told my daddy, I said, Daddy, you're going to have to repent of your sins and quit chewing on the cud, and you're going to have to get right with God. And Dad didn't like it. Dad would pray. I tell you, he'd outpray me. He'd outpray you. I'd go to Dad's house, and Dad would be out in the barn over there, and I could hear Dad, and Dad would be praying and a-praying and a-praying. He'd a-pray in that barn for hours and then come out and chew the cud. Spit. That's right. Good little man has ever walked on earth. Just as good as he could be, he'd chaw his tobacco, and he'd spit and outpray me any day. Good man, much better than I was. But I said, Dad, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, Dad, you got to quit chewing on the cud. I said, it ain't like Jesus, and you got to quit it. Dad couldn't see it. But in a few days, Dad had a heart attack. They took him off to the hospital, and I went over to the hospital where he was, and I looked there, and my little old dad was dying. I said, Dad, you ready to quit chewing on the cud? He said, I'm ready. I said, God will heal you. God healed him and raised him up, and he lived for years and years. My mama had faith. She believed. You could feel God's presence when she prayed. Good woman. Always been a fine woman. But mama just had to dip a little snuff. You could always see that jaw poked out with a little snuff. But I said, Mama, it won't do. Mama, she felt like she could get by with it. But one day a bolt of lightning comes sweeping into the kitchen and hit her and buckled her knees under. The doctor said, Woman, you took enough lightning to kill 10 women. I said, Mama, you ready to quit dipping? She said, I'm ready. God healed her and raised her up. She's still living today. Tell you, Mom and Daddy, they might not listen to you. They might say, well, I don't believe it like that. That's a pitiful thing for a human being to say when they hear God's word, say, I don't believe it like that. Boy, that's a pitiful thing to say and stand in the presence of God. But nevertheless, you'll be free of it. If you told them, you'll be free of it. See, if you told them, that's all you can do. And I'll tell you what, you'll sleep better on your pillow at night after they're gone when you say, well, God, I did everything was in my power to reach my little old mom and daddy. I'm going to tell you, Mom and Daddy. I tell you what, you better not bring them to little Bethlehem if you don't want them told, because I'm going to tell them. That's right. Amen. A man laying on his pillow dying and you won't tell him about it when you know he ain't right with God. I'm going to tell him about it. If he's got sin in his life, I'm going to tell him about it. Some of you say, well, I just can't bring myself to tell my daddy. Well, you just bring him over to Bethlehem. Brother Pike can tell your daddy. If you can't bring yourself to tell your mama, you bring him over here. Say, well, my brother, he's up in society. That don't mean nothing to Brother Pike. I don't care if he's a general. Bring him over here. I'll tell him. I'll help you. If you ain't got the boldness to do it, I got the boldness to do it. I'll tell him. Just like up here, as a fellow coming up there at the video man, he's Russian Jew. He kept saying things over and over. I let it go one time. I thought, well, Lord, I don't want to offend him. He said it again. I let it go again. I said, Lord, I don't want to offend him. I said, now if he keeps on, offense or no offense, I'm going to tell him. So he let it go again, and I told him. It just about knocked him off his perch, you know. But he said, he respected it. He finally got his bearings. He kind of reeled and rocked a little bit. But he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to do what you tell me. I said, all right. That's better than some of you do. That's a good report for a Russian Jew. There's a spirit that's sizing me up. But it won't do you no good. I'm not going to do anything till God leads me to do it. I feel like doing it, so you might as well get that kind of attitude out of your mind. I done told you I'm not going to do it, and you're just going to send yourself to hell with that kind of spirit. That thing is about cost you your soul already, and it's going to cost you your soul before you get rid of it if you keep on, because God's going to get weary of you one day doing that. And the Bible said, he that being often reproved, that hardeneth his heart and stiffens his neck, is going to be destroyed, and that without remedy. If you'll quit feeling sorry for yourself, ain't nobody hurt you, ain't nobody bothered you, quit feeling sorry for yourself and just be a man, you'll be all right. All right, I want to pray for this little lady here. I appreciate Brother Richard being patient and the little lady being patient. I feel like God's dealing with you tonight. I feel like something's taking place. Now, I've been a little strong tonight. I know that. I know it's a little strong. But I love you, folks. The Bible said the meat is for the strong. You folks are supposed to be strong, I hear. Amen, that's right. You're supposed to be strong, folks. I don't want to pounce on you. I don't want to hurt you. And I don't do that. But I'm going to tell you the truth about the whole thing. See these little darlings standing here? One day they're going to be grown men if Jesus tarries. A lot of people say, oh, they don't know what you're talking about, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Like my little Danny said the other day, I believe it was Danny, one of them, Betty said something to him. Danny, or whichever one it was, said, forget it. Said, forget it. The Bible said, let every man work out his own salvation. See, they're listening. Don't make no difference what mama wants them to do. He said they're supposed to work out their own salvation. In other words, if he wants to fly a kite, then mama ain't got nothing to say about it. So they're getting it. They might not get it just exactly the way you get it, but they're getting it. Hallelujah. These little fellas know what I'm saying, don't you, sonny boy? Sure they do. See him shake his head? He knows what I'm saying. And I'll tell you what, they'll grow up to be strong men and women. Are they going to wobble and bobble about some? They're going to wobble and bobble about, but brother, after a while, they're going to walk like men. Walk like men. And all this bunch of freaks that call themselves Jesus freaks and this kind of thing, going to be like Dale said the other day, as a bunch of fellas come over and told Dale, said, we want you to go with us. Dale said, no. Said, well, just come on outside. Dale said, no. Dale said he knew what the devil was trying to do. He said, but Dale, you crazy. Said, you just beginning to make friends and really get in, you know. Dale said, I done tried it. I don't want none of that. I'm not crazy. Amen. That's good preaching, wasn't it? He said, I done tried that out there. I said, that ain't what I want. So they went on their way. You can believe it or not. You can believe it or not. But when a man stands like that, after a while, he'll bring somebody in. Praise God, stand like a sawlog. Don't be mean. Don't be haughty. But be straight down the old Kentucky gun barrel, as Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, when the devil comes in, get your double barrel and go after him. Hallelujah. Kill the wolf. You stand there. Just stand there. When doing all you can to stand, stand there. Say, glory to God, the word says. And after a while, you'll find them boys drifting into church. They'll be drifting into church. and you'll be pulling some souls out of the fire. You'll be a leader. Somebody will say, you know what? If that Dale Cartridge can do that, I can do that too, because he's done been out here and he's done been up to his neck in this just like I am. And if he can do it, that proves to me the devil's a liar. I can do it too. And the first news you know, they'll latch onto it and Dale will be a savior. Has some stars in his crown. Amen. Folks, how do you know that somebody's following you? Somebody, listen to me now. I'm going to close. Somebody's following you. Somebody's following you. Somebody's watching your life. I remember when I told that about the woman that lived next door. She was a Methodist. And Betty and I lived in a little old bitty house, struggling, trying to get by. And this woman come over and said, Sister Betty, said, tell your husband to walk straight. Said, because my husband has got his eye on him. Said he ain't never served God, but said he's watching every move he makes. He was a Methodist. Wasn't long before one of them boys out there become a holiness preacher. Think about that. Coming out of a Methodist church, been raised Methodist, become a holiness preacher. Another one of them become a Methodist preacher. Another one of them become a Baptist Sunday school teacher. And the old man went and joined the church. Somebody said, well, he didn't have nothing. How do you know? You can't judge another man's servant. You don't know what they had. Some got a hold of them. Somebody's watching you. When you say, I can't, remember, somebody's watching you. The Bible said we can. Now, this is a precious little thing right here. She's as pretty as she can be. And when we have the services and she comes up, she's so lovely. When she comes up, they catch on video here along with our other little fellas. Caught David the other day. And boy, I tell you what, you that hadn't seen it, you ought to see it. He was a flexing his muscles and he was going like this. I mean, he was a really going. He didn't know nobody saw him. But we got it on television. I just like for you to see it sometimes. She looks like she's really sick, brother. God's going to heal her. We're going to pray for her and God's going to heal her. How many of you believe that? You say you don't have any right to say that. I certainly do. Jesus said it. Jesus said lay hands on the sick and they recover, didn't he? I don't believe he lied about it. Do you? Amen. Are you a believer? I'm a believer. We're going to pray for her and God's going to heal her. She needs healing. She looks like she's sick to me. She looks like she's weak. And we're going to pray for her and God's going to heal her. I want you to pray, you know. It's like my Cindy. She come out the house the other day. And she said, I'm sick. Said, Daddy, I just can't eat nothing. Said, I'm so sick. I said, well, get ready. I'm going to pray for her and you're going to eat like a pig. I prayed for her. She turned around in a few minutes. She got her a bowl of grits. And she started eating. That's right. And she kept on eating. And in a little while, she said, you know, you're going to have to pray for me the other way around. She was eating. That's right. Folks, if we believe God will do anything, it don't make no difference what it is. He'll stop the rain. He'll stop the sun. He'll stop the cold weather. He'll make the groundhog a lion. He'll make people that can't eat, eat. Amen. He'll do it. Hallelujah. Father, tonight I pray for this little lady. And I know, Jesus, that you've healed her. I feel it already. Hallelujah. I feel it already. Your word said she's healed. God, I declare healed in Jesus' name by that same quickening power that raised up Christ from the dead. God, I command this fever to leave, this earache to leave. God, and it will leave. Father, we accept it that it's gone in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. Hear me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, if you can't feel that, you must be dead. And I tell you what, if you're dead, if you can just get a feeling of that, you won't be dead long. Hallelujah. Father, bless this darling little fella. Lord, he come up in simple childlike faith tonight and ask for prayer. And dear God, you're going to grant it to him. In the name of Jesus, heal his little body. Watch over him. Build this little faith up. God, keep the devils and demons away from him in his lifetime. Don't let him get overcome with dope or anything else. Keep him saved and grant his prayer request, Jesus. Father, bless this little lad tonight.
the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless him. Heal his little body and keep him safe in Jesus' name. Father, bless our brother Richard tonight. Give him peace in his heart. Help him not to be confused, but help him to believe. Oh God, you're going to open something good for Richard. Lord, he's trying. Help him to overcome. Give him strength and give him a willingness. Give him a desire, God, to swear to his own hurt, to kill the old man, to leave his reasoning behind. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Father, touch these precious little children. In the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands upon them, I ask you to touch their little bodies. Touch little David tonight. Heal him in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch these little girls tonight. Touch their little bodies and heal them, Jesus. Touch the little baby in Jesus' name. Heal in Jesus' name, Father. Touch this mother in Jesus' name. Help her to believe. Heal in Jesus' name tonight. Touch Jonathan tonight and heal him in Jesus' name. Father, touch Sherry tonight. Heal, Jesus. God, I feel faith in the hearts of these little people. God, heal this little lady. Heal her in Jesus' name. Okay. Father, as my daughter stands here in the behalf of the youth tonight, heal, Jesus. Deliver, God, from dope. God, I know that you can deliver from dope. And dear God, though the demons of hell have control of our youth, God, I come against that power. I come against that dope. I come against the demons. I come against the evil spirits. Satan, you're not as strong as you think you are. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. And I charge you in Jesus' name. Take your hands off of our youth. Take your hands off. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless this little lady in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, bless Nita tonight. Help Nita to be honest with herself and to be honest with God. Lord, help her not to play around on God. Help her to see that it didn't end in sorrow. And dear God, that she can't deceive the Lord. God, she's got to be honest. I pray that you'd help her to really get honest with you once and for all. Lord, and really serve you. Satan, I adjure thee by God. Take your hands off of Nita and quit deceiving this girl. I plead the blood of Calvary against you, Satan. In the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little girl. The wonderful name of Jesus. Help her not to be temperamental, Jesus, but help her to be sweet in Jesus' name. Father, touch this little sister tonight. Help her to believe with all of her heart. The name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Touch this little lady in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Touch this little girl in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Touch this sister in the wonderful name of Jesus, Father. I ask you to bless her and encourage her. Help her to believe. Oh God, I feel her faith right now. The name of Jesus. Father, she's really trying to serve you. She's got it in her heart to want to do right. Give her strength and help her in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Help her to walk circumspectively before thee, Jesus. Help her to realize that the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. And God, that we must reap what we sow. And if we sow good seeds, Father, then there'll be a great day of reaping. Help her in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. Father, she fears you tonight. And she really believes that you do have to reap what you sow. And God, she's repentive in her heart. She realizes that she's not steadfast with you, Lord. And that she's not strong with you like she ought to be. But she wants to be. And I ask you in Jesus' name, give her strength. Father, bless her and bless Tilden. Dear God, help her and Tilden to be great people of God. I'm believing you to do that in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. Lord, I believe that this sister wants to love you and be true. I believe she wants to do what's right and stand by her companion. Dear God, help her to be holy. Help her to be pure and right in your sight, Father. And dear God, when evil comes forth and temptation comes forth and people come around her, dear God, that brings evil, God, I ask you to rebuke those people and help her, God, to stand steadfast in her heart. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, and not to give in to those things, Father, but to be a light for Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Fathers, I pray for this little sister. I believe, God, that these young people want to serve you. Dear God, I see a great move coming for our youth. I see a great move coming. The yoke is being broken. Hallelujah. And dear God, I know it's going to continue to be broke. I feel faith in this heart, Jesus. Father, touch this heart right now. In the name of Jesus, dear God, there's a great moving, Father. I can hear the sound in the mulberry tree. And I can tell the move is on for the youth. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Touch this precious little baby. The name of Jesus, Father. Touch it, Lord, with your precious presence. In Jesus' name. Touch this dad, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I appreciate this brother. I'm thankful, God, that you brought him back to little Bethlehem. May he and his wife abide here. And dear God, may he find a home for his soul. May he find blessings for his body. And may he and his wife find a work among us. May there be a team to work with us. Hear us, Jesus. Heal his body. Forgive their sins. Add the blessings of God unto them. Father, touch Tommy tonight. The name of Jesus, help the troubling spirit to leave Tommy. Oh God, let Tommy be great and mighty in the sight of God. Bless him, pull him away from the world and from evil, and give him strength. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch Toby tonight. God, you said whoever we bless would be blessed, and whoever we curse would be cursed. Deliver Toby tonight and bless him, Jesus. Oh God, help him to get over here on the property. His heart longs to get on, Jesus. Help him, dear God. Lord, I found out today that you provided the trailer that he wanted. Help him, dear God. He's trying. He took it by faith. When we told him to step out by faith, the odds were against him, God, but he's moving by faith, and you're making the way. Help him to be tender. Help him to be merciful. For God, you said the merciful shall obtain mercy. In Jesus' name. I've had him to hear about me in town. He hears so much about our ministry and is calling on God till he come out in our tent meetings. But that's not what I'm wanting. What I'm wanting is to reach the lost. And I want to raise up a people that will be clean and holy. And these people at Little Bethlehem, I believe, are clean and holy. Now, I know you stumble and stagger, but I'm keeping it strong because, as I've said so many times, there'll be an overrun after a while, and a couple run over. We've already had a lot of it to come in already. A little strong for them, and they backed off. But they'll come a running again. You watch and see. They've done got a taste of it. But whatever you do, remember, I'm trying to be a little strong with you to try to help you, to keep you clean, that when these other things come in, they won't overthrow you. I've had some people come in here that's overthrown some of our people because they wouldn't listen at me. But I appreciate your spirit. And I'm going to pray for you, and I believe we're going to see some great things at Little Bethlehem. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing here. Brother Eddie, I believe we're going to see some great things at Little Bethlehem. Amen. And I want you to get in here with me. I need you, folks. I really need you. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to walk with me. But I got to have clean people. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. You know, the 70 walked away from Jesus. They said the thing's too straight for me. And they left him. And I got to have some straight walking folks. Now, some of you are going to drift off from me. You know that. Some of you are going to walk away from me because you can't go the straight route. And you're going to drift off and find what you call your own ministry. But some of you are going to take my hand, and some of you are going to walk right along with me. You watch and see. Amen. I might rebuke and I might reprove, but you're going to go right down the trail and stay right with me. Amen. I believe that because you're good folks. You love the Lord. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I want you to forgive me for keeping you so long, because I didn't mean to keep you this long. I really didn't, because I promised Sister Eileen that I'd get that building ready. And I don't feel like going out there getting that building ready. But I promised her I'd get it ready. And whether I feel like it or not, then I'm going to go out there, the Lord's will. And we're going to try to get that building ready. I don't feel like it. I feel like going home and going to bed.
But nevertheless, I'm going to do what I promised. I'm going to do whatever I can. All right. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Let me get me a little swallow of water. Brother Taylor sings this song, To Be Like Jesus. I like that song. I want to be like Jesus. I know I'm not a very good example. And I realize that when I preach to you, I'm not preaching to you, you know, to be good because I'm all that good. See what those notes say, Brother Taylor.
Mississippi.
Is that right? Got some notes coming in here. Brother Taylor says it says here that there's going to be thunderstorms in Mississippi by morning, right? Who is this? Okay, Vicky said her hands has been healed. This agrees with what somebody had division. Sister Betty told me about division. I don't know where Sister Betty had it to who, but Vicky was having a terrible thing with her hands and the doctors couldn't get them well, and it's come kind of I don't know what. And somebody had a vision that we prayed for them and they were healed. And the other night when she come up, to we went to pray for her, and I said, God, that vision is going to be fulfilled. You're healing her hands right now. And so she sent word, said her hands has been healed. She really suffered with them. I don't remember who had the vision. But, you know, I wish I did. I wish I had a better memory. Because, see, whoever had that vision, that proves that God's in their life. They're having night visions like Daniel did. I got some people here that have night visions, just like Daniel did back there. And then I got some people in here that's got the gift of suspicion. And they have what the Bible calls evil dreams, you know. Filthy dreamers, the Bible said. All they dream about is some filth. They dream about some woman or some man, and they come and try to get me to interpret it. I got an interpretation for you, but I don't think you want to hear it. But anyway, I'm thankful. God's healing, we're getting reports all around. God's healing, we're getting letters where people are healed and reports, people are coming to me. I've heard of so many healings in the last little bit. But I believe we're going to have more than that. Amen. I believe God is going to give a sweep of healing. I said that here a while back. I said God will give us a sweep of healing, and I believe things will happen everywhere. And I believe it's going to be like that. I really believe it. If you're sick, I believe God's going to heal. I just believe it. It's something inside of me that's bubbling like a stream. It tells me God's going to do it. I'm not trying to tell me that God's going to do it. It's telling me that God's going to do it. And that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. All right, let's sing this little chorus, To Be Like Jesus. Don't forget now, there's thunderstorms in the areas of Mississippi. Some of you have got loved ones over in that area, in the area of Tennessee. And I believe Betty said it's supposed to be kind of bad here tonight. I don't really know. Maybe I didn't understand her too good. They're headed this way. I want you to pray now. How many remember here a while back when it looked like the whole earth, especially the United States, was just swept with tornadoes? We saw the vision of them coming and told you that they're coming. And they hit right here and took the pillars out under the front of this church. I remember that. And how many remember when we lifted our hands up against them and they turned and went another way? And when we prayed and asked God, God's my witness, I'm telling the truth and I lie not. I went before God and got on my face and begged and pleaded with God. And I said, God, people are so weary. I saw my little old daddy with that little cane of his drag himself in and out of here, so weary he couldn't hardly go. And the people trying to take coverage from the storms, and the radios just reporting everywhere things are just torn to pieces. 6 tornadoes, 2 or 3 tornadoes in this area, 6 or 7 tornadoes in that area. And I said, Lord, I said, for Christ's sake, I ask you to lift those things. I said, people are so weary everywhere till they'll be so discouraged, God, they can't even hold the earth together no more and keep the program up that you've put before mankind. I said, things are being torn down fast and they can build them up. I said, they'll get so discouraged, God, they won't even have the courage to face life. And I said, I'm asking you to lift it. They lifted. And they ain't come back since. They ain't come back since. Now, I know there's been one here and one there, but it's always been that way. But they ain't come back since. You ain't heard of siege like that since that time. But I tell you what, we need to pray, folks. We need to pray. If God takes a notion, he can turn this building upside down. He can sling us around, tear down buildings. John said, I saw the nations of the world crumble to the ground. He said, I saw their cities crumble to the ground. That means earthquakes. How do you know that means earthquakes? And already those earthquakes are hitting. He said, I saw these great earthquakes, and I saw the cities just literally crumble to the ground. Even Jeannie Dixon's predicted this year that the Empire State Building, or one of the great buildings up there, she said that she's already saw it as a spiritualist. Said she saw where somebody went up into one of them great buildings and set off a bomb, and the whole building blowed up and just tore up buildings all around it and fell just like brimstone everywhere. Okay, I hadn't even thought about that. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know they were leaving for Illinois in the morning, Frank and Linda. They're leaving for Illinois in the morning. They got to go up there. They're pulling them into court over his daddy's estate to settle his daddy's estate. They're having a little difference. There's a contrary lawyer up there that's trying to take some of Frank's rights away from him. And Frank's dad's lawyer is determined that he isn't going to let the lawyer do it. So he's took it to court and he's calling for Brother Taylor. That has a great spiritual significance. I wish I could have brought a revelation to you tonight. I really had some things on my heart. But maybe one night we will. Maybe we will. Let's sing that little chorus, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger, on earth I long to be like Him. Through life's journey, from earth to glory,